Our gospel lesson this morning comes to us from the book of Luke, chapter 19, if you're following along in your own Bible. This is the New Revised Standard Version. Whatever version you prefer is fine. Has everybody got it? Chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. Luke writes...
Oh. Stand for the reading of the gospel.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Good melody.
It's just not right to sit.
Whispering over there, and I didn't occur to me what she was whispering about. This is the gospel according to Luke. He entered into Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. See, the story in Luke's gospel account takes place in the course of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem and ultimately to the cross. And here Jesus is passing through Jericho and he meets a wealthy tax collector named Zacchaeus. Now, Scripture doesn't tell us a whole lot about Zacchaeus. We know that the Hebrew word Zacchaeus means righteous one, which is kind of unusual considering that he's a tax collector. Tax collectors, especially chief tax collectors like Zacchaeus, were not particularly liked. In fact, they were generally despised by the Jewish people. And what's more, if you were Jewish, particularly a Pharisee or one of the chief priests, you would never consider a tax collector righteous. And so as Jesus approaches, Zacchaeus wants to see who Jesus is. And I have to ask the question, what do you suppose Zacchaeus was seeking in Jesus? Why was it so important to Zacchaeus to get a better look at Jesus as he passed by? Whatever his reason, he was willing to make a spectacle of himself to get whatever it was he was after. See, he's a short man, the passage tells us. And because of the crowd there, he couldn't see Jesus clearly. But he didn't let that obstacle dissuade him. What does he do? He runs ahead and he climbs a tree. Now, you have to get this picture in your mind. This is an otherwise dignified man in the community, although he's not well liked, he's an official. And so here he is climbing this tree in such an undignified fashion. Bear in mind, he's not wearing blue jeans. He's in a robe and he's climbing a tree. And so there he is being so undignified in front of everybody. Can you imagine this taking place? It's like your city mayor in a bathrobe climbing a tree out at a parade to get a better look. And so there he is trying to get a better look at Jesus, and we have to ask, what is it that he is seeking? Jesus comes upon that spot along the road where the tree bearing Zacchaeus fruit is, and he tells him, Zacchaeus, come down now, because I must stay at your house today. Now, Scripture doesn't say how Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name, but it's an interesting choice, that word that Jesus uses when he says, I must stay at your house today. See, if we look at the original text, the word must there implies that there is a divine imperative. It is absolutely spiritually essential that Jesus stay at Zacchaeus' house on this particular journey to Jerusalem. Just as Jesus' journey to Jerusalem and the cross are divinely ordained, so are Jesus' individual actions all along the way, including this encounter with the tax collector Zacchaeus. And so Zacchaeus climbs down from the tree and he welcomes Jesus into his home at the grumblings of all the people who witnessed it. If this is the Messiah, they say, if this is a holy man, why is he associating with this sinner? But Scripture tells us that Zacchaeus doesn't let that interfere with getting to spend some time with Jesus. It says he stands tall in the face of the grumblers. He stands tall in front of Jesus and he does something remarkable. He offers up half of everything that he owns. He offers to pay back those that he's wronged, not just pay back, but pay back four times how he wronged them. In other words, Zacchaeus repents. So you see, while Scripture doesn't make it clear at first what Zacchaeus is after, when we read what it is that Jesus gives him, we then understand the thing that Zacchaeus was after was forgiveness and salvation. And so Jesus responds, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save those who are lost. So as we let this account of Zacchaeus kind of sink in this morning, if you're like me, you probably have some questions that are kind of percolating in there, kind of bubbling to the surface. Questions like, what obstacles am I willing to overcome as I seek to get a better view of Jesus? What things in my life am I allowing to obstruct my view of the risen Christ? What things in my life are preventing me from a deeper relationship with Jesus? And am I willing to do whatever it takes, maybe to the point of appearing to be undignified in public to those that I know and associate with? What am I willing to do, endure, to get a better look at Jesus? Am I willing to stand up in the face of the naysayers, the grumblers, the complainers? Am I willing to stand up for Jesus? Am I willing to stand up for the gospel? Really, am I willing to stand up for anything at all that's godly and righteous and pure? Reading this story in Luke reminds me of John on the Isle of Patmos as he's writing to the churches. He has these visions, and then the visions he's told to write, these letters to the churches, much like Paul was in his time. And in Revelation 3, beginning at 14, we see John writing to the church in Laodicea. And he says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. In other words, Jesus says this to the church in Laodicea, and by extension, all churches everywhere. He says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot, so I can deal with the cold. I can deal with you if you're against me. I know that. Or if you're hot, if you're for me, if you're all in for me, I can deal with that too. But because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will just spit you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you don't know that you are really wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become truly rich. And white garments so that you may clothe yourselves and that the shame of your nakedness would not be revealed. And eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may truly see. Jesus says, those whom I love, I reprove and I discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I will dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. See, John is telling us to take a stand like Zacchaeus. John is telling us to speak the truth in love, to not let the culture of the world infiltrate our hearts and our minds, to not sit idly by while the world encroaches on our children and our grandchildren, indeed on all of God's children, the way the world likes to do. But rather to stand firm in our faith and to stand up for the gospel. I have to say, I keep bragging on Kelsey and those that were involved in this fall festival. That is the body of Christ standing for something. Amen. That is the body of Christ taking a stand for the light of Christ, shining it into an otherwise dark night. We do that rather well here in Shepherd, I think. You do that rather well here in Shepherd. We have to acknowledge your willingness to stand for the gospel. We have to acknowledge and say thank you to you being willing to make a statement in this community. Yeah, our kids participated, but how many unchurched flowed through these doors and saw things? What was the background for the photograph?
Jesus is
what?
The light.
Let Jesus light your way. Thank you. Little things like that make a statement in the lives of the unchurched. Don't underestimate the value of the gospel message that accompanied that little piece of candy.
Amen.
And so I stand here today preaching Zacchaeus, who was by no means a tall, mighty influence on his community. He was short. He was a small person. He was looked down on. by his community. And yet he stood tall. He stood for something. We're just a small church among many in Shepherd, aren't we? And yet, we made a big statement on Halloween night. I don't mean to embarrass Kelsey, because Lord knows she doesn't do it for the attention. But would you indulge us just this one time and stand up so that we can say thank you for organizing this properly?
You don't get righteousness by association.
And Kelsey would be the first one to say, you know, it wasn't just me. There were many people that helped. And thank all of you. But let's just say that she had a heart for it, and she got the ball rolling, and she made sure it went off. And we need to say thank you whenever the saints stand for the gospel. All of you, like I said, do that so well. But I just want to make sure that you know that this community appreciated it. This community came away from it with something that was enlightening rather than something that was, well, let's face it, the world has turned Halloween into something that it was never intended to be. And we did put the light back into it, so thank you for that. That's really all I've got to say this morning. Let's take an example from Zacchaeus. Let's take an example from the church at Laodicea. And let's stand for the gospel. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Our next hymn is Bread of the World.